Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Lowry on the dribble. Straight away against Curry. Deep three in the air. Good! Down the bottom of the well for Kyle Lowry. 118-106 Toronto.
They're very long and athletic. They're tough. They get after you. And, they play well together. They got a lot of versatility. I think they're actually a lot like our team. You know, they can switch and guard different positions and that sort of thing. And so I thought they did a really good job.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I like the word that Steve Kerr uses, the versatility, for sure. And that was on both ends of the court. Great defensive intensity by the Raptors. Very few of the Warriors shot well. It was really their second chance points. They hit the offensive glass hard. And also the fact that they shot free throws really well. Those were two areas that kept them in the game. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. The voice of the Raptors on their radio network is Paul Jones. We're pleased to welcome now from NBC Sports Bay Area, Bob Fitzgerald, who watches these Warriors day in, day out. Bob, thanks so much for a couple of minutes. What did you see from the Warriors that got them into trouble in this game?
Well, they hadn't played basketball in about 9 days, and they shot 37% in the first half. And I think that's, you know, unfortunately, kind of for the Warriors, where the game was decided. They didn't play well enough to beat the Raptors tonight. They had some uncharacteristic kind of sloppy turnovers. And without Kevin Durant, they need to absolutely fire in terms of shooting the ball, and they just didn't do that. And you credit Toronto with just an incredible effort. They were the better team. They deserved to win. And they grabbed game one. And so now that the series is on, which those of us that watched the Warriors and saw them play without Durant knew that this would be real difficult without Kevin. And trying to win a game in Toronto is going to be hard, but I think this is going to be a fairly lengthy series.
How did you like their defense on Kawhi Leonard?
I thought the defense on Kawhi was terrific, and that's where Van Vliet and Danny Green are kind of the key to the series, is that Danny Green made only 4 threes in the whole Eastern Finals, and yet he made 3 threes tonight. And so if Danny Green's going to go for 11 and Van Vliet's going to go for 15, that allows, you know, and Danny Green in particular, a large 6'6 guy to stay on the floor and deal with either Steph or Clay. When Danny Green can't throw in the ocean and Van Vliet has to play, he's not as good defender and he's smaller, and so Steph and Clay can get going a little bit. So I thought Danny Green making shots and being an extra defender with Siakam and with Kawhi and with Ibaka and with Gasol, that shows, you know, Toronto's defense is really good. And I think Danny Green, Van Vliet, their points, and Gasol hitting those open spot up threes to begin the game, those were huge, huge games. Siakam will get all the credit, and he should, but it was the ancillary guys for the Raptors that really won the game.
The Raptors shot 50%, and they also had more fast break points and more points in the paint. We know they hit the paint hard. But where did you see some of the letdowns or some of the breakdowns on defensively for Golden State?
Well, the thing is, Amy, when you know it, you always hear the term live ball turnovers. And you know the issue when you turn it over, if you commit an illegal screen and they take the ball out of bounds, you can still get back and set your defense.
Sure.
But if you're throwing away, Steph had a couple one-handed, left-handed hook passes that they get knocked away. Now you're in a scattered defense situation, and here's Toronto running it back down your throat off your own mistakes. I mean, Draymond got picked by Kawhi Leonard. The Warriors ended up throwing it over and out of bounds and, you know, over guys on their team that were wide open. Draymond had a telegraph pass right to Marc Gasol. I mean, these are just things the Warriors don't do on a regular basis. And so those 7-8 possessions and empty possessions that could be Steph or Clay shots or good Warrior ball movement, I mean, you're hurting yourself twice. You don't have a chance to score, and you're fueling Toronto's, you know, transition game. And that, I think that was a big, big part of how the Raptors really, you know, kind of control things after halftime.
Bob Fitzgerald of NBC Sports Bay Area with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio talking about NBA Finals Game 1. I thought it was interesting that Steph said after the game, this is an unfamiliar position for us. We're not, they've never lost the opener of an NBA Finals, but typically they are the team that fires the first shot. How do you think they'll respond?
Well, I think, you know, this series, I think, is going to go six games, and I think the Warriors are going to win it. But what's odd is I think they could lose the first two games in Toronto, win the next two at Oracle, and game five will tell the tale, and that will be the road game that the Warriors grab. I thought the Warriors would actually not win tonight, and so I'm, you know, would like to have seen them win, but they didn't. And I just think that without Durant, the everything tilts towards Toronto until Kevin comes back, and I think it's likely that, you know, if he makes an appearance in the series, it will be when it shifts back to Oakland, and they'll need that. So I think game two, the Warriors will play better. I don't think Siakam's going 14 of 17 from the field again. You know, I think that's safe to say. And I think the Warriors will clean up their turnovers, and you'll see more from DeMarcus Cousins, because I think the Jordan Bell experiment really hurt the Warriors. They're kind of searching at that starting center spot, and Gasol kind of owned that matchup at the beginning of the game. So I mean, the Warriors will play better. The Iguodala, you know, tweak and injury bothered me, because if Andre has to miss time, that's a huge defensive loss, a huge experience loss, and another guy that really guards Kawhi. So that'll be another physical malady that the Warriors have to take a look at before Sunday.
It certainly seems like Steve Kerr is being really cryptic about Kevin Durant. Are you really expecting him to play when the series is back in Oakland?
Well, I don't think he's going to play in game two.
Okay.
But I think he is making some progress, and I do think that, you know, it's been 22 days so far, and, you know, the way this is spaced out, you know, game three isn't until June 5th and game four, June 7th. And so, you know, I think he will make an appearance in the series. You know, I don't know the, you know, the where people would have, oh, he's not going to play at all. I mean, I think if, you know, it's a calf injury, it's not like life-threatening and it's not career-threatening. So it'll be uncomfortable, and it'll probably, you know, have some issues with mobility. But if he's functional and can give them even anything, I know Kevin well enough that he'll want to be out there. And so it's just a matter of he's taking some shots and shooting, you know, by himself a little bit. He's got to get on the court with his teammates, and they won't play him until he's at least practiced or gone through a shoot-around with the team. But I just don't think that's going to happen, you know, for several days.
Mm. Certainly a lot has been made of this winning streak that was ended on Thursday night, but their winning streak without Kevin Durant. What do they do differently? Maybe what do they do better? And I'm not saying they're a better team without him, but what do they do better? What did they do better without him on the court?
Well, here's the funny thing about it. I mean, so I've been the voice of the Warriors for 25 years, so I've seen lots of bad basketball. And the last 6 years, I've seen the best basketball in the history of the sport. They don't do anything better without Kevin Durant. You know, I think what got lost is that the Game 6 win over Houston, Andre Iguodala made five threes.
Right.
He'd done that once in 132 playoff games. Okay? Kevon Looney had 14 points. He's done that once in his career, basically. Steph Curry had 33 points in the second half. He had never done that in his career. Okay? That's what it took to beat Houston in Game 6. And then in the sweep of Portland without Durant, the Warriors were down 17 points, 18 points, and right. 17 points in games 2, 3, and 4. So the idea that they were rolling with KD out of there, I think they got some otherworldly performances from Draymond Green, and Steph, you know, had five straight 30-point games, which he had never done in his career. That helped, but they miss him hugely defensively. They miss him hugely offensively. Where do you replace 37 points on 50% shooting, 40% on threes, and 90% from the line? Nobody in playoff history has ever gone 50-40-90 as KD was doing this year in the playoffs. So, you know, I don't think they do anything better without him. I just think that the drop-off missing Durant on a championship team, as great as they are, they're able to cover it a little better than most mortal teams. But I watch them and I see, you know, they had 26 assists and 17 turnovers in Game 6 against Houston, and they don't move the ball necessarily better. They don't turn it over any less. Their shooting goes down. I think that was the biggest false narrative, you know, for people to just aren't deep into the Warriors. Oh, they're winning, so everything must be great. Well, they were winning, but it was a weird way to scale Everest without KD.
Bob Fitzgerald from NBC Sports Bay Area is the play-by-play voice of the Warriors on TV with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. So I have had this conversation with Tim Roy before, who, of course, does the play-by-play on the radio. And he remembers the bleak days. And obviously, you just referenced the time before they became this championship squad. Does that make you appreciate, then, what Toronto just accomplished in their history?
It does. It does. And I think that, you know, all fan bases, when you go through the dark times, you appreciate the wonderful times even more.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and you also look at teams like the Lakers that had been on top for so long, missing the playoffs for six straight years, and you're like, hey, the Warriors missed the playoffs 17 out of 18 seasons. You know, you want to talk misery or stack it up, you know, let's go. But what it does is your hardcore fans are rewarded for that patience and that fervor and that interest in your team. And it just kind of explodes in that exultation when your team finally rises to the top. And you can feel that with Toronto, not only with Kawhi's, you know, four bouncing jumper to beat Philadelphia, but coming from 2-0 down against Milwaukee. And now they win game one in the finals. And, you know, that is a fan base that's tasting it for the very first time. And it's fantastic. It's what sports is about, and it's super fun. And so, I think this series will be highly entertaining. I think it'll be incredibly competitive, and it will hinge on several key players and several key plays. But in the end, you know, if Durant is able to come back, I think the Warriors will take care of things. If they don't, you know, they could still win it. But Toronto is far more formidable in my mind than any of the Cleveland teams the Warriors saw, save for the 1 year with Kyrie and LeBron. Kyrie was real special that year. But the other Cleveland teams were much more pedestrian than this Toronto team, and they had a much easier road to the East. I'm impressed with what the Raptors have done to win the East this year, which was a significantly better conference than it had been in previous seasons.
One of the things that has impressed me about the Warriors' run is that while it is the same core, and they added Kevin Durant a few years ago, the guys around them change. I mean, outside of Iguodala, Livingston, the Splash Brothers, obviously Draymond, they're constantly turning over that bench. And I feel like that's one of the things that general manager Bob Myers doesn't get enough credit for. They run into guys that have played on their roster everywhere, like Patrick McCaw. Great example on Thursday night. To me, it's seems like that is constantly shifting sand with them as the role players, and yet the system continues to bring them along so that they can also contribute even if they're new.
No, I mean, that's really perceptive, Amy. When you think about the first edition, you know, had Andrew Bogut and Harrison Barnes, but also Leandro Barbosa and Mo Spates and guys like that. You transition to your JaVale McGee's and Zaza Pachulia's and David West, and, you know, they even had Omri Caspi and Nick Young and guys, you know, it just, the system's not set up to have multiple all-stars on the same team at the same time. And financially, it's not set up for that, and that's why the big jump in the cap allowed them to sign Durant, but that will never exist again. Cap will never go up $30 million in a year. And so you have, with your stars, you know, Steph, Clay, Draymond, you know, then Iguodala and Livingston were here, as you mentioned, you do have to find and fill out the rest of the roster. And so this is now, hey, you found Quinn Cook, and you got, you know, Alphonso McKinney and Jonas Jerebko, and, you know, that, even when they had JaVale McGee, these were all guys that were reclamation projects or cast-offs from various teams, and they fit into the Warrior system and the Warrior culture, and then when called upon, they answer the bell more often than not. And I look at Iguodala, who chose to be a Warrior as a free agent, Durant, who chose to be a Warrior as a free agent, and then DeMarcus Cousins, who chose to be a Warrior as a free agent. This was never the case in previous iterations of the Warriors where players were pining to come be a Warrior, and that's part of success and part of winning and part of Joe Lacob and Steve Kerr and Bob Myers for unearthing, you know, that talent and letting them satellite around some of the greatest players the league has ever seen.
Just about 30 seconds of Bob. You mentioned Boogie Cousins. He was back tonight. Do you think that they should extend him a contract? Does he fit?
I think from a talent standpoint, you know, DeMarcus is always going to fit. And, you know, the Warriors have Damian Jones, who's a young center, is on a one-year deal, and they have to re-sign Kevon Looney. Otherwise, they could be pretty naked up front. You know, the question for DeMarcus is, he would have been a huge financial, you know, player had he not had the Achilles injury, so he signed the one-year mid-level. The Warriors can only offer him $6.1 million. That's the most under the whole system with the 125% raise. I think from a talent standpoint, I know from a chemistry standpoint, he fit in incredibly well. But him coming back on a one-year kind of lesser money deal, I got to think that teams around the league are going to offer him significantly more, and it'll just be kind of a financial thing, and the Warriors will shake his hand and say, hey, thank you for the time here, but obviously given the limited years in anyone's career, you got to max out financially, and no one will begrudge him that.
Bob Fitzgerald with NBC Sports Bay Area has been with these Warriors for years and years as their play-by-play voice on TV. Always great to grab a couple of minutes. Thank you so much for your time.
Anytime, Amy. Just give me a buzz. Be okay. Happy to chat with you. It's always fun.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.